Chapter 1. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I was like, I'll wait a few minutes for some pages to turn. Everybody to find their way or open their phone or whatever they need to do. Praise God. 1 John in chapter 1. You know, we live in a time of, it's not new to our day and age, but it's a time of, assault on Christianity, certainly. Assault from the world, but assault within a church world as well, against fundamental, powerful, basic truths of what Christianity is means to be. And you know, I believe we can go down a long list of things that are under assault today. And I want to touch on one for a few minutes tonight on true repentance. And that's certainly by anyone's, if you look at it, is under assault within the church or the world. The world has always hated repentance. And if you see the world mocking and criticizing and assaulting and coming against something, it ought to give you a clue that, hey, this is something that's important to God. If the world assaults it and opposes it and mocks it of what repentance is and paints the picture of just some lunatic on a street corner screaming at people to repent, is a misunderstanding. People, some need to be screamed at and told to repent. Don't get me wrong. They need to repent. But we also need to understand what it is and how much of a great blessing and what a powerful impact it can have on our life to understand what it means. Let's read a few verses here in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Praise God. You know, first thought, you know, maybe if something of what you think repentance is just simply saying, "I'm sorry." And you know, that's part of it. That's part of it. But the word is a powerful word. And I'm not going to take all this time going into, you know, Old and New Testament and all of that and what it means. But it's throughout the entire Bible. And it has a lot of powerful implications and meanings for us today. To repent and repentance, three things basically. Means to turn from my sin. It's a picture of turning from something to something. Specifically, from sin to God. Amen. Secondly, it does involve an aspect of confession, even with a grieving along with it. So there is that aspect of it as well. And I'm not going to really spend much time on those. But the third area of definition of what this word means is to see my sin as God sees it. To see sin as God sees it. Which is very important for us to be able to grasp and to understand this truth. This is a powerful effect on us. How many of you know that we're stubborn people? Amen. We're strong-willed people. We get our own idea about something. We get our own idea about what is right and what is wrong. We make up our own standard along the way. I'm saying we of everybody. And you know, the people in the world. And if you go out and you witness to people and you talk to people, you'd be surprised some of the things that you hear. You'd be even more surprised some of the things you hear of people in the church. of what they believe. And sometimes I ask people when I hear something that's way out there, where did you come up with that? Where'd you come up with that? You know, I try to be nice. Where did you receive that? Where were you taught that? What was your source for that great revelation that you have of, how you made God in your own image and this and that and what you believe and what you believe is a standard of right and wrong and all of that? Where does that come from? Was it how you were raised? Was it what you were taught as a kid by your parents? That's common. Was it what you were taught in school? Did you get it from TV? You know, all different kind of sources for what people reference. They reference off of for right and for wrong. All kinds of sources. So when that source, if it's the TV, influences them and begins to set a standard in defining things as right and things as wrong, and if people embrace that, well, guess what? That becomes their source. So they adopt that as their standard or as their truth. That's what they adopt. And that's true of, let's say, everybody before we get saved. Everybody. But then along comes Jesus, praise God. And we get saved. And something happens inside. Amen. We're born again. We're born again. We become a new creation. We hear the gospel. We hear a message of hope, of power, of what Jesus did on the cross, that he died, that he shed his blood. And you know what? I can go on to be with the Lord. And there's an eternity. Amen, of glory to be with him. Or, there, as it's been said, there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Rescued, snatched from the fire, as the Bible says. Pulled from the fire. And so we come into the kingdom of God. And the longer I'm saved, the more I realize that it's a radical and it's a powerful transformation. It's not adopting a new belief system. It's a transformation. It's death to life. It's the devil's kingdom to God's kingdom. It's the devil's family to God's family. Amen. It's a powerful transformation. When you hear things like, old things pass away, behold, all things are made new. Well, that's pretty powerful. Amen. It's a transformation. And one of the areas of a transformation that takes place, not so much instantly, but over time, is a transformation of our mind. A renewing of the mind, the Bible calls it. A renewing of the mind. To where, thank God, by his help and by his grace and by the power of this word right here, we can begin to think differently. Amen. And you know what? The source has changed. Instead of my source being some ridiculous sitcom on TV or from what some godless teacher taught me in school or whatever, now my source becomes right here. Amen. Right here, the word of God. And guess what? A renewal of the mind is underway. A renewal of the mind is taking place. A renewal of the mind, simply put, is I'm thinking differently. Amen. I'm thinking differently. And that's where a powerful picture of repentance comes in for us to understand, for us to grasp and to hold on to in our day-to-day life and relationship with Jesus. And you know, it's under assault today in the church world. Many are saying, you know what, it has no place whatsoever, no need for it whatsoever. I believe that's a misunderstanding of how much of a blessing it is and the place that it holds for us in our life. One person called it works, and just simply to repent is that you're trying to earn your salvation by works. Well, I think that's ridiculous. We see a much needed change of mind, a renewal of the mind in our life. In our life, as we, you know what? We're not born thinking like God thinks. We're not born thinking the way He thinks. It's hard to think the way God thinks. And to look at this world, to see it as the way He sees it. And so repentance as a change of mind is beginning to see sin. Sin as God sees it. Now, I can make excuses for my sin all day long. I can convince myself of anything. How many of you know that? We can convince ourselves of anything. We can convince ourselves the moon is made of Swiss cheese. We're just all on it. That's the way the mind is. You can convince yourself of anything. You can convince yourself to believe anything. You can justify anything, any action, any behavior in your own life. And you know what? I know what it's like to struggle against things and with sin and habits and problems in our own life. And you know, to wrestle with these things and come to a place in your life to where you think, you know what, it's hopeless. I might as well give up. I might as well give up. And I believe out of struggles like that, if we, this is just my opinion, over the centuries of church history, you know what, maybe some got so frustrated and worn out, struggling and striving against sin, that they just decided to come up with some doctrine that condoned it and made it okay. We see there's all kinds of teachings that condone sin. Any doctrine, any teaching that condones sin is wrong. Jesus died to defeat sin, to atone for sin. Amen. It's defeated. Are we going to struggle against it? You better believe it. Amen. The Bible says we might resist to bloodshed, striving against sin. But one of the most important things in our victory, in this road to victory, is this area of repentance. In other words, a repentance that allows a change of mind in us to see it like God sees it. To see it like He sees it. That no longer am I the standard. The standard's not in here. Not me. It becomes this. This becomes my reference. If there's a question about something, is this right or wrong? Well, guess what? We go to here. Well, what does God say about it? But all the time, over and over and over again, you talk to people. Talk to people out on the streets. Talk to people at work. And you talk to people within the church. And guess what you get? Well, I believe. Well, I believe. How many of you have gotten the, well, I believe, over and over again? Well, I believe. Nobody cares what I believe. Amen. They want to know what God says. What God says. What's that standard? What is that standard of what God says about things? And you know what? It's not as gray and cloudy as people would like you to think that it is. It's clearer than we would think. Amen. And so this change of mind that is necessary in our life, you know, as they preached in the book of Acts, as Peter preached, as others preached, they called for people to repent. They did call for them to turn from evil to God. They called for them to ask for His forgiveness, but they also called for Him to change what they believed. In other words, Peter's preaching to the crowd who had just crucified and rejected Jesus. So he says, repent and be saved. In other words, change your mind. You didn't believe He's the Messiah, now believe He's the Messiah. Change your mind. Ask for His forgiveness, but change your mind about it. You rejected Him because you did not believe. Now repent and believe. Repent and believe. You rejected Him. Change your mind and accept Him. And accept Him now. You had the wrong idea about who He was. You had the wrong idea. Repent. Let me give you what the right idea is. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. That word, repent, one very literal meaning of it means to have another mind. To have another mind. Because you know what? Mine is not the best. I need God. I need the mind of Christ. Praise God. I need the mind of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. This change and this transformation allows something to take place where we see this world like God sees it. We see people like God sees them. we see sin like God sees it. It's a change. It's a transformation. The prodigal son, he came to himself. The Bible says he came to himself. Then he what? He saw things like his father saw them. Amen. There was a change of mind that take place. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your soul, and what? Your mind. Your mind. The Bible speaks again of the renewing of the mind, a renewing, a process, something that renews it, changes it, makes it new. We're told to set our mind on things above. The Bible speaks about a sound mind. All of these things. It talks about bringing our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Things that affect the mind. We can do none of these. We can receive none of these unless we truly repent, or in other words, change the way we think. Change the way we think. You can look at it in the broad sense of things, or you can look at it in the specific things. Some people, oh yeah, oh, you go on, you talk to people, everybody wants to go to heaven, and most of them think they already are. Amen. They think they're already on the way, and that it's all good. But if you deal with specific things, you might find something different. Some people, you know what, they saved this and that, but drinking comes up. Well, I believe, amen, that it's okay. I believe that there's nothing wrong with it. I believe Jesus turned water into wine. Amen. Well, so do I. Go over to your sink, fill up a glass of water, pray over it. If it turns into wine, drink it. Amen. Then call me. I'll come over and drink some too. Amen. But the Bible condemns drinking and alcohol and drunkenness. Consider how many lives alcoholism has destroyed and devastated. Pastor Marshall used to give out this little flyer saying at Breakaway about alcohol, that it's, you know, all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies and blah, going through all this, all the wars have not destroyed as many lives as alcohol. But then God's okay with it. Change your mind. Amen. Change your mind. We fornication, sexual immorality, adultery, shacking up, living together, all of that arena of things. You know what always comes up? Well, I believe it's okay. Change your mind. Amen. In other words, repent of it and find out that in the Word of God, God is against it. Amen. And that God says it's wrong. And that God says it'll undermine your faith. It'll destroy your faith. So repentance is not just saying, Lord, forgive me of this. It's changing your mind, and now I see it like God sees it. You know what? I used to think it was okay. And then I got into the Word of God, and God says that it was wrong. So guess what? I've repented. I've changed my mind. Gossip, slander, half-heartedness. You know, we can go on down the list of things, of sins and bondages and things like that. And again, something rises up in us that wants to condone it. Because guess what? The flesh likes these things. The flesh likes, that part of us likes these things, does not want them to go away. Does not want. But if the renewal of the mind, if the renewing of the mind is going to take place, there's got to be a change of mind. There's got to be a change of our source, of what we believe, what we reference, what is the standard. In one sense, it's not at all out of line to say that we should all believe the same thing. Well, it's right here. It's not that cloudy. You know, I'm not talking about other issues. I'm talking about areas that affect people's lives and destroy homes and families, sins that destroy people, sin that keeps people in bondage. People like to embrace the fact that, you know what, they're a free thinker or they're an independent thinker. I'm not an independent thinker, and I'm not a free thinker. I'm thinking like God thinks. That's what I'm trying to think like. Independent thinker gets me in trouble. Amen. Free thinker gets me in bondage. I need to think like God thinks. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. Bible also speaks, I mentioned these minds, these good things of the mind that the Bible says, but there's also, it speaks of the carnal mind, which is at war with God. The carnal mind, one area of the carnal mind in a Christian is somebody that's always wrestling against what God says. Always wrestling against what God says. That, oh yeah, at that church, they say that. Down at that church, they preach this. They preach this is wrong. Well, I don't believe that. Wrestling against what God says. Well, if you don't believe it, look it up and find out if it's there. If it is, repent. Change your mind. Change your mind. You know, and not being, I don't mean not being a free or independent thinker means you're going to become some kind of a robot. No, to have the mind of Christ is liberating. To have the mind of Christ is freedom and power and glory and peace. Peace in the mind, not tormented, not under condemnation, not defeated in your mind, but victorious. It's in there. It's in there that the battle rages. The rage is that part of us that wants to think what we want to think, wants to hold on to the old references that we had in life past. Hold on to those. You'd be amazed at when people come into church for, you know, they haven't been in church for 20 years, or you witness to them. They, years ago, they had some religious experience and darkened the door of a church in decades. You know, Reagan was president last time they were in church. Yeah, I mean, it's just, but then all of a sudden, you know, the topic of the Lord comes up and there's instantly to the forefront of their mind, past, right there. References that they hold on to, things that they were taught right there, instantly right back to the forefront. Somehow it's just like clicking on the computer and that file opens. It's right there. References of the past person, the past life, references that they got somewhere else. And a lot of times they'll rise up and contradict the things of God. It's a dangerous place to be in of constantly resisting the mind of Christ, of constantly resisting it and fighting against that and opposing that and holding on to that stubborn old self-will that wants what it wants. There's a dangerous thing. Romans chapter 1, the whole chapter, but verse 28 speaks of being given over. Giving over, it says, and even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's a scary place to be. It's a scary road to go down. It says that they refused to have God in their knowledge. In other words, we could say, well, it's definitely more than just they didn't think about God. They didn't think about him. But it's they would not embrace and submit to who God is, to what he says, to who he is, to his law, to what his standard of right and wrong is. They would not submit to it. They would not hold God in their knowledge, and they were given over to a reprobate mind. The Bible speaks of a carnal mind, a darkened mind, a futile mind, a mind that's set upon the things of this world, a mind that wants to fulfill the desires of the flesh, a mind set upon the things of this world. If this world is your reference and your standard of right and wrong, I got to warn you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If that's my standard, I'm in a bad place. Amen. The world does not care one bit about Jesus. The world hates Jesus and hates you if you love Jesus. And wants nothing to do with his word. Nothing to do with his word. We see an excuse like Pilate gave Jesus when Jesus was standing before him. In John 18, 37, it says, Pilate said, therefore, are you the king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly, I am the king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate, with his profound wisdom, says, what is truth? What is truth? And that question's still being used as an excuse today, especially in the churches. especially in the churches. Oh, what is truth? Oh, well, that's how you interpret it. And that's how you see it. Oh, everybody interprets the Bible differently. Excuses. What is truth? First of all, you got to get in and find out what it says. It's got to become a standard. It's got to be, whether you know it, whether you've read one book in the Bible, you get saved, it's got to be embraced as, you know what, Lord, this is your word. This is your word. I accept it. I receive it. Amen. And the rest of my life, I'm going to try to learn what it says. Praise God. It becomes your standard. It becomes truth to you. And you're not left wondering, groping about in the dark like someone like Pilate, who all he can say when he's looking at truth is say, what is truth? We're challenged. You're challenged as you're growing up and as your kids are growing up and as you're in school and you're around the people of this world. You're challenged. Are you going to believe what God says about something? Or are you going to believe what the world says about something? We're challenged with that every day. We're faced with that all the time in our life and things that affect our life. Are we going to believe what God says? Or are we going to believe what the world says? You believe what God says, the world will mock you. They'll criticize you. They'll say you're stupid, old-fashioned little simpleton. Amen. But praise God, God will be right there with you. He'll be right there with you. Amen. I'd rather be on his side, and I'd rather have him on my side than fit in with the world, than fit in with the world. If you hold on to that question that Pilate gave, it'll open up the door for a stronghold of the devil in your life. It'll open up the door. He'll get in. He'll bring the confusion. What is a verse, 2 Corinthians 10:4? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds. You know what? Before you go into thinking about, you know, all this strongholds over cities and all this and that, and that's real and got its place. But guess where most of the strongholds are? Right here. Amen. Right here in our thinking and in our mind. That's where most strongholds are in most people's lives who are struggling in life, struggling with things, and to get the victory and dominion in their life. They're right here. That's where the devil gets a foothold in us, in our thinking. Because the next verse says, right there after that one, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. In other words, the way God thinks. Exalt itself against the way God thinks. It's not just the knowledge about God, it's the knowledge of God. What God thinks, what he says about something. And then it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's impossible if we say, what is truth? What is truth? Or I believe, or I'm not sure about this, or I'm not sure about that. I know people, you know people, been people in this church, people that have grown up, and it, you know what, it's sad, and some of them are in our own families and close to us, and they go through some things, and then all of a sudden they embrace something strange, something weird in believing. Wondering about this, wondering, you know, I'm not sure about Jesus, I'm not sure about this, and, you know, I was wondering about, you know, all kind of things. And you can't help but say, where did that come from? Where did that come from? They've been here for years. They've been here for years. Where did that come from? How did that get in there? How did that get in there? And I, you know what, I'm not trying to be critical. It's scary. It's troubling because things find their way in. They find their way in. Somehow, as this is the source it's built on, somehow it got taken out of the way and something else put there. And then guess what got built on that? Their thinking. And then guess what followed that? Their words. And then the next thing that followed that was their actions, their decisions. So the source got moved out of the way, pushed aside. Something else put in its place. The mind of Christ pushed aside. The mind of Christ pushed aside. I don't want the mind of Christ anymore. I don't want to think like Christ thinks. I want to think like the world thinks. I want to broaden myself. It's a scary thing. It's something we got to be watchful of. We got to be on guard against, even in our own life, because the renewing of the mind is a continual process that takes place. It's a continual battle in this mind. And that's why repentance is not a one-time thing. It's not something that has no place in the church or in the Christianity. Because let me put it to you this way. As we're coming to church, as we're growing and we're serving God, and the months go by and the years go by, you know what? Guess what? You'll hear preaching that will challenge something in your life. You'll hear preaching where the Holy Ghost will put a finger on something. How many of you are with me? Amen. Where the Holy Ghost will put a finger on something. Because it's not all done in an hour. Amen. It's over the course of our life. A renewal takes place. You know, God dealt with me with things after I was saved 10 years that he didn't deal with me in week one. Amen. Because it was a continual thing, a process. And so I find my way to an altar all the time to repent. Maybe I do need to ask for his forgiveness for something. That's fine. Repentance is not works. It's relationship. It's relationship. I'm listening to this guy, and he's condemning repentance as works, salvation. I said, that's absurd. It's relationship. It's relationship to come before the Lord. And then God deals with us about something in our life. Guess what we do? Maybe it was something that I thought, some attitude I had about something. And so God puts his finger on something and says, graciously, that's wrong. So me, if I'm right with God, will say, yes, Lord. Amen. And guess what I do? I repent and I change my way of thinking and say, you know what? God dealt with me about that. I used to think this way or have this attitude or believe this. But he showed me something, so what? I repented, or in other words, I changed my mind. I see it differently now. Why? Because he's renewing my mind. And little by little, day by day, year by year, I'm thinking more like him. Praise God, and I need that. I need that. I need that renewing. I need that work of God in my life. A renewal that takes place, a transformation. We're transformed, at Romans 12, we're transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. We cannot be transformed if we don't, simply put, think like Jesus thinks. Think like he thinks. He becomes the new standard. His word is the new standard of right and wrong. Right here. Now, it's the standard. Amen. I don't have anything else to add. It's the standard. Praise God. It's the standard of right and wrong. And you can believe something. You can convince yourself of anything. Everybody's got many opinions. Amen. Everybody's got opinions. But in the end, none of that will matter except what God says. None of it will matter. And so we set aside our preconceived ideas, old foundations, old reference points that were no good, old ways that we were brought up. Well, I was taught that way my whole life. Well, just flush it. Amen. And get something new in there. Amen. If you're still breathing, it's not too late. It's not too late. Amen. You might be an old dog, but there's some new tricks waiting for you. Amen. Just flush those things out. But you got to find out what the new standard is. If you just listen to somebody all the time and get an attitude of, well, I don't like that person. Well, you ain't going to get nothing. They might be telling the truth, but you still got to get into the Word of God and find out if God said it or not. Amen. Get a new standard. Get a new reference point. Get a new foundation. A new one. Amen. I'm still finding chunks of old foundation that they need to chip out and kick out of there. Amen. And let God put something good in there. We're all in that boat. We can get so strong-willed and stubborn and opinionated. Amen. We just got to mellow out a little bit. Amen. Find out what God says. If we do not repent, and the church needs to repent, because the church has embraced what the world says. The church has allowed the world to define right and wrong. The church has allowed the world to tell us what is right and what is wrong. Amen. God forbid. There's judgment coming for that. I promise you, we need to repent of that. God's word is the standard, not TV, not the schools, not anything in this world. They have nothing to say, nothing to add that will transform a life. It's only what God says. We need to repent of any reference where we put the things of the world above the things of God and change our mind. Amen. Or we will be given over to a reprobate mind, a darkened and a futile mind. That's a scary place to be. That's why people are in church one day and gone, living like the devil in a day. Because the darkened mind is taking hold. Futile mind is taking hold. Somehow the foundation got wrong. Amen. That's why we need to repent. That's why it's more than just coming down and saying, I'm sorry, God. That's important too. But it's changing our mind about what we think and about what we believe. Amen. I know it. I know it is here. I know it is here. The world has told you what's right and what's wrong, and you've embraced it totally. You've embraced it totally. And you not stand against it. Amen. You will not make heaven your home unless you repent of that. Amen. It's only we have the mind of Christ given to us. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. We cannot do the works of God if we don't know what the works of God are. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight.